Welcome to the Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandela Kandepwe, also known as Aka. It's a good day to have a really cool, interesting conversation about entrepreneurship, innovation, creativity, and technology in Zambia. I like this because today's guest is one of the first people I worked with in my early teens. Which one works? I don't know. But when I was pretty young, I got to meet this man and I got to work with him on a few projects. And today I get to interview him, which I'm very grateful. So with no further ado, I'd like to introduce Stephen. Hi, Stephen.
Hi, Aka. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having me here today.
Thanks for being here and just doing this with me again.
Yeah. A nice one. And it's not, my adrenaline is rushing because there's no script, no. So I'm like, okay, let's just do this.
Don't worry. The next one I do with you will have a script. I have to admit, you have an eye for talent, or just picking out talent in a room. You did that with my friends and I at the time. You did that with me. How did you develop that skill?
I don't want to tell the world some lies and say I developed the skill like this, like that. For me, there's no formula. The secret for me, I think, is knowing what I'm capable of doing and what I'm not, what I lack. So if I see what I lack, and knowing very well that I need, so I'm sure you're getting it. Like, it's not really a skill that I learned somewhere, but it's out of my deficiencies. Like, okay, I look at myself, okay, I lack this, I lack this, I lack. And when I see it in somebody, for me, it's like, okay, how can I get that to work on my team? How can I get what that person has to work for me? I don't know if you call that a skill. It's a skill of knowing where I lack, the areas where I'm so bad at. And you find somebody so I'm always looking for people who can compliment me. I was taught that I should not be the smartest person in the room. Yeah.
Yeah, I was also taught I shouldn't be the smartest person in the room. It's a lot of hard work trying to outsmart everybody. I like that. I like looking for people that would complement your strengths or shoot you away from your weaknesses so that you can thrive at business or whatever you are doing. I like that. Not a lot of employers employ like that. I guess it depends, right? When you run a small business and when you run a big corporation, the standard on employment and how you do it is different, I guess. Because you got to employ me because I guess I was my mindset. Like, it's only you that can say, I did it because I saw this and this and this. At this point, I feel like I'll just be speculating.
No, apart from the effort that you are putting in, the four girls, when you are doing your thing and you could see, okay, this potential in what these guys are working on, I got to have the experience with you. I think it was at the National Institute of Public Administration, NIPA. During Startup Week, the Startup Week Lusaka, and there was this man who was presenting some very hard stuff, Harvard kind of material. He's making a presentation, And then we had invited, you know, I don't want to come out like I'm tackling GRZ, you know. I don't like to come out like that. But we had a problem where we were planning over 3 months to host an event. And when you are doing that, it's so demanding. You have to be engaging speakers, and these speakers are people who are working. They are people who have got other engagements, and you have to negotiate with them concerning their availability, you know, the time that they are going to be available. And some of them, we tell them that your presentation is going to be 30 minutes, yours is a masterclass, going to be 1 hour. And, you know, it takes a lot of work. And then there's GRZ. GRZ, you can't go away, you can't run away from GRZ. We reach out to the ministry, and we did not get any proper confirmation that there's somebody who is going to come to them from the ministry until on the day. Like on the day that we just got a call that someone is coming. We did not even give away, not even given the name. We only saw this person when they arrived. And when they arrived, they were so much in a hurry that they wanted the person who was on stage to just hurry up and get off the stage so that they get there. And I was not cool with that myself because, you know, this man was dishing out some very important presentation. And my colleagues, you know, we were organizing this event with partners, and they were all ganging up on me. They have to drag me out. You know, no, this person can't finish. You know, the MC should go and stand next to him to make him go down. I'm like, no, no ways. It can't work. So all that moment that I had this close encounter with you, where you were actually appreciating what was happening on stage, it was like I felt like I was on my own. I felt like everyone else was just blaming me for standing my ground. And then in our conversation, as I started listening to you commenting on the presentation, I realized, okay, you're cut from a different stone altogether. Your perspective, your appreciation of that, for me, look, okay, so there's somebody who is different here. The mindset, the attitude, the mindset towards learning and everything. For me, even though I thought I knew you, it made me to get to know you from a different angle. I might talk, you know, forever.
No, I get where you're coming from. I think I get to appreciate learning differently, because formal learning is a stretch for me. Like I have never, it was a struggle just to get out, to get my high school certificate, my degree. Sometimes things don't look like someone is struggling, but some of, like for me as for example, I have to go like an extra mile to understand stuff. And I think for that presentation, it reminded me of Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. It also reminded me of Errol Nightingale's recording on YouTube. So I think at that particular point, I was listening to Errol Nightingale. So yeah, it felt good to listen to something on YouTube and actually see somebody talk about it. Yeah. I like that. I like that recording. I know he had a masterclass at the University of Zambia at that point. If I would ever meet him, I would like to attend his masterclass. He was so good.
He's always doing some presentations at the University of Zambia Graduate School of Business. So he does, every month he does a session there.
That's so cool. I'll get more details from you.
Yes, sir. That's good. Yeah, I mean, that man is an asset. I looked at his sessions. If you attend his sessions and you look at the number of participants, usually it's the kind of stuff which if you go to Harvard, you go to Stanford, it will be a packed auditorium. That kind of stuff, it will be a packed auditorium. But you go there, it's like you find people are really, really, it's like people, they don't even know what it is that they want, what is good for them. He has helped me to make a lot of changes in the way I do business and so forth. So he's, and then he does it for free.
I like that. Yeah, he is an asset that we should be looking out for. I like how we're talking about him and not mentioning his name.
Well, there's this thing where you need to get permission, you know.
I know, right? I know. I'm so proud of us right now. With that being said, what inspired you to start Nyamuka Africa and Nyamula Logistics? Because those are like two different businesses.
Nyamula Logistics, I want to tell you that I never imagined that I would be dealing with the truck drivers my whole life. When I was growing up, I wanted to be a medical doctor. At some point, I wanted to be like a feet antenna, you know, like as you're growing, you get these people who impact you one way or the other. There was this musician from Zimbabwe. His name is called Leonard Karikoga Shakata. So this is from Zimbabwe. And when we were growing up in the village, you know, life was miserable. Things were bad. And we then had the opportunity to find a wireless radio and listen to this guy's music. It was so touching. It was so encouraging. This just social commentary, you know. And I began to like him. And one of these days I was reading in a magazine that when he's not on stage, this is the kind of stuff that he does. He's a feet antenna. So I said, I want to be a feet antenna. But I think by the time that I finished my high school, I was determined to be a medical doctor. But things did not allow me. Poverty is not my friend. So I ended up, you know, going to work in government. My first job was as a security guard, working in supermarkets, you know, checking receipts and so forth. Then I got a job in government. I did not last in 2 years. I was fired from there. And I started doing cross-border, you know, out of necessity. You know, one of these days I was at church and one of the elders called me and said, Brother Stephen, we're actually carrying the speakers from church because after the church service. And say, if you have time, can you come through to my house tomorrow? I'm going to try and cut this short. So I followed him the following day, and he's asking me, now you're no longer working. What's the plan? I tell you, I was already entertaining thoughts of going back to the village because life was hard. I couldn't afford even a tomato where I was staying to buy a tomato. So this man said he was running Vintemba, like his tuck shops, you know. So he said, no, there are ladies from Zambia here who cross the border every day and they bring us stuff, candles, bulbs, and these supplies for Vintemba. If you maybe you could consider doing that, if you go there and you bring this stuff, we'll buy from you because you are one of us who will be supporting you instead of buying from them. He gave me a 50 kwacha. So Vic Falls is just across Livingstone. I'm sure you know this already. So when I got this money, I started crossing the border. I've crossed the border sometimes 3 times a day because I've less capital and there was now demand. The demand was growing, you know, from what I was bringing in. So I was pushing it. So one of the days I walked in one of these Indian-owned shops. The company was called Brigeo. The name was Mr. Deepak. If you go to Livingstone, there's a street, there's a road that they call Second Class. I think the shops there, placed most of them, they are owned by like Indians. So he stopped me and said, "Hey, you're from Zimbabwe?" I said, "Yes." I said, "You're hardworking. I see you here every day. So can you get me some grapes?" know, I'm going to bring me some fruits, them grapes, plums, and kiwi fruit. I was hearing those names for the first time. Grapes, I knew about grapes. I brought him some stuff. Then after a few days, again, I walked in. He said, no, the grapes you brought me, they've got seeds, but they're nice. I want seedless grapes. Me, I didn't know there was such a thing as a seedless grape. But he made a promise. He said, if you bring me seedless grapes, I will introduce you to all my Indian friends across Livingstone. So that motivated me somehow, because bringing stuff from Zimbabwe was helping us to change currents, you know, change Zimbabwean money into Zambian kwacha at a favorable rate. So that was the profit there. So I brought those seedless grapes. He connected me to a couple of guys. One thing led to another. I found myself now in between a cement manufacturing company in Zimbabwe and Indian companies, Indian-owned companies that were importing the cement. So I'm now their guy now. I had to connect them with the supplier for them to have an account. So I'm coordinating this until I started now getting calls from the truck operators who were delivering the cement, because they would send their drivers. I'll be the one who was receiving, signing their documents. So they started calling me. Now our trucks are bringing your cement there, but what can we bring back? We don't want our trucks to come empty. That was when I realized, oh, there was a problem here that I could fix. That I started looking for Zambians or people who were buying maize from southern province of Zambia. I started now connecting them with these trucks which will have offloaded the cement. Over 2-3 years, that became my source of living, of income. People now start asking me when I meet guys, what do you do? I start saying, no, I'm a logistics guy, I'm a logistics guy. That's how Nyamula was born. That time I was doing it as freelancing until in 2018, when it became necessary to formalize the business. So that's about it. I never planned this. It was just an issue of opportunity that came my way, and I pounced on it. That's the Nyamula story.
Yeah, that's such an interesting story. I have never asked you how Nyamula started.
Yeah. So that's how Nyamula was started. And what I realized is that the same kind of opportunities that I was getting when the kind of opportunities that I was getting when I was operating as a freelancer in logistics, and the kind of opportunities that came my way after formalizing the business, you know, going to Pakra, ZRA, and having a bank account, it was a huge leap. Like, one moment you are living from hand to mouth, you are just making a few loads, you make a commission, $500, $600, you meet. The next thing, we're now delivering thousands of tons into DRC from Zimbabwe, making some very good money, you know, because we had formalized the business. But then before that happened, I've always had this interest in working with young people. Like, I've started a few organizations. Some of them, they just died a natural death. I was involved in the formation of an organization called Inspired World Changers, which was meant to work with young people to just create impact. So the idea was that as we go about trying to change the bad things we see in our communities, we will get to know about ourselves. We get to discover ourselves. That became more like a motto. It's a personal motto for me, that instead of complaining about trash on the streets, instead of complaining about this and that, do something about it. So that was my idea, talking to the young people who gathered around me. By then, I think I was in Livingstone. Guys, let's do something about it. Instead of spending our energy complaining, let's do something about it. So that desire to work with young people, when I got started with it, I didn't have any resources to support it. So at the end of the day, the young people, they just gather around. If they see you're broke, they just, you know, they vanish. So when now things were started taking shape with Nyamula, okay, I remember first I wanted some technology, wanted to add some technology to the work that we're doing with Nyamula. You look at Yango, for example. So I'm thinking, if we're working with third-party truck operators, maybe we could do the Yango for trucking. Then, you know, we would say Uber, the Uber for trucking. Yeah. So I started looking for a developer. Like, I need somebody who can help me to actually develop the platform itself, because I'm not a techie. I'm not a programmer myself. So I had one of my ways to we became one of the partners at Nyamuka Africa, Joseph. I reached out to him. Joseph, I would like to develop a platform for the business. Are you able to make some recommendations because you're connected? After a few days, he sent me Frederick's number and said, okay, after doing my research, this is the contact that I got. Maybe talk to him. I spoke with Frederick, had a couple of meetings. We agreed that we were going to work on the platform. So he said, after every 2 weeks, we'll be meeting. I'll be giving you updates, showing you the progress that I'm making. So one of those days when we met, he's giving me update on the logistics platform. We are done, actually. We're done with our conversation, and he's going to his car, going to my car. It just hit me then. Then I said, okay, Frederick, come here. Do you know about QuickBooks? QuickBooks, a platform that is used for managing finance. This was born out of my personal experience, because when I was doing business without even, you know, bookkeeping and everything, I went in so many problems. Until in 2018, I was introduced to accounting software that you can use online. So I'm like, I thought I was smart, but I didn't know about this thing all these years. So how many other people are like me out there? So maybe let's work on something local. Can we work on a homegrown tool that can help these small businesses like me, people who are suffering like I was doing? Okay. Let's do it. Let me do some research and see where to start from. That's what he said. We went our separate ways. I lost interest in the logistics platform. I started now thinking about the accounting. So in our conversations, I said to him, I don't want you to be billing me like you are doing on the logistics platform, that I'm just hiring you, paying you as a software developer. I want us to work together. Let us be partners. Not this issue of saying I have to pay you. Let's be partners. You see, I think you are seeing already that thing that I was communicating to you about it. He has got a skill which I do not have. He has got a skill that I do not have. So I want him close. So I'm saying, can we work, be partners? We're already discussing shareholding and so forth. Then I said, but you are from Tanzania, me are from Zimbabwe. And here we're in Zambia. We need somebody from Zambia so that our team can be complete. Can we have someone, a 30% to join the team? But we should not look further, any further. The one who introduced us is Joseph, the one who introduced us. Can we try and invite him to be a partner? So reached out to Joseph, and no, he was still in school. I think he was in his last year in school. Introduced the topic, then he said, okay, I'll get back to you. I think he needed to consult on just to reflect a bit. Then when the guy said yes, it was awesome. We had our first meeting at Impact Hub on 31st May 2019, where we agreed that we were going to be incorporated into a company. And we said, this accounting thing that we are talking about is just one of the solutions that we are going to be working on. But ourselves, we are going to call ourselves a hub of solutions, because we are going to create many of them, and we are going to work with others to create more solutions that will help address the challenges that our continent is facing. That's how Nyamuka Africa was born.
That's so interesting. When you mentioned the date you guys actually created this, In the same May, the girls and I also created Ladies in Designing, right? If we still had Ladies in Designing.
I only got to hear that story later. I thought Ladies in Designing was existing long before that.
No, it wasn't.
I only got to know that story.
No, it wasn't. And sometimes we do have some sort of regret that we're not consistent and we just didn't persevere when things got tough for the business. We completely stopped.
It's normal.
We have that regret. We have that regret.
Instead of that regret, sorry to interrupt you. Instead of the regret, look how powerful you are now. I follow you, Aka, Sopani, Malama, and Beatrice. Imagine with all that firepower that you have gathered over these few years, you come back and make that dream happen. You are in a better position now to actually execute that vision. So stop the regretting.
Okay, I won't use the word regret. I do look back. I will compare, unfortunately. Okay. I will compare, not that it's a bad thing, but I hope people can take out some lessons. Those two companies were built the same year. Mm-hmm. Right, like probably the same month, because even us just met a day and we complained about how there was no place for us to meet as fashion enthusiasts, talk about fashion, and a business was born, right? So mm-hmm. we were born the same month probably, and now 5-6 years mm-hmm. later
mm-hmm.
Nyamuka Africa has grown so much mm-hmm. and we are still figuring out what to do next with it. That's just the difference between consistency and disrupting the compound effect of the consistency. Mm. Yeah. Okay. That's making me reflect.
If you put it that way, but I was told that it makes sense connecting the dots backwards.
Oh!
It makes sense connecting the dots backwards. You might think...
Steve Jobs.
You might think, no, we lost the track, we should have done this, but the person you are right now and the person in May 2019, you are actually stronger. You have grown as a person. The quality of your conversations with your girls, you can even see that, okay, now we are talking different now. Maybe then you're just from who... you're just recent graduates, the other girls. So right now you are actually in a better position, not necessarily to go back to that same business.
Yeah.
It's up to you to decide whether you want to go back. But right now you are a better founder than you were then.
That's so
and,
true.
And that mistake you are saying you might have made, is part of your process, your story.
That's so interesting.
That's how I would look at it. Of course, there are certain lessons which you look back and say, this was an expensive lesson, and I learned very
yeah, that, and also the girls are so good at it was such a good team. I guess we're so good friends, like we're really close bunch of friends, because we had the friendship came from the business, and the business didn't work at that time. And we chose to stay friends even after having a business not work.
Mm. And now look at your CEO. We're not going to mention names.
You already named names, but please.
Yeah, yeah. Look at your CEO, the corporate exposure that she has gotten.
She's that girl now.
Yeah.
It's okay, don't worry. We can mention Sopani's name. It's okay. I mention her name all the time, so it's fine.
Yes, yes, yes. So it's and Sopani is our advisor. It's our advisor. She's on our advisory body for Nyamula. I said, please come on board, come on board. She said, so why? She asked me a question. Why did you reach out to me? I said, I've been observing you. I've been observing you. You have grown. You're developing yourself. I'm, I want that also to work for me in my business. Mm.
That's so true. I actually can't wait to be a board member one day. I should work towards that. I am following.
Volunteering. I would like also to be part of your, to be an advisor in your, in your.
Actually, team. I am. I'm actually one of my mentors told me when I did my birthless facial, he told me that I kind of do need advisors for my. I need advisors before I have board members for my business, don't say.
Yes.
That's something I will do next year. Like this year, I still have to incorporate it, figure stuff, a few stuff out. But next year, I'm going all full in, which is going to be interesting to look at. So I'll stay in touch on that one. Thanks for putting it out here. I'm definitely going to reach out. What's one of the most interesting thing also is how you view innovation, right? We live in Zambia where we are still figuring out technology and innovation. I do think that the new regime is really pumping in a lot to just accelerate the process for us. And then you also get to work with a lot of startups that are all about innovation and incorporating technology in their businesses. How does that feel to be like one of the first 10% in the technology industry in Zambia?
Are you saying we are one of the 10%? Are you looking at the innovation hubs, or what are you looking at?
In terms of just technology, so in innovation, so let's say technology and innovation, right? And let's remove the big corporates out of this. Like, let's remove the big corporates that are not Zambian, by the way. Yes.
Okay.
To think, so Nyamuka Africa is a small business in Zambia, and by 2019, you're already spearheading technology, and we're now also having conversations about innovation. I don't think I was not a Bongo Hive dweller as much. So I was not there as much, but we're also having conversations about innovation. You also created another platform that was gathering different businesses and having the technology innovation conversations. Yes, so like, how does that feel to be? That's why I think you're like one.
It feels great. Okay, this for me, this is passion. If you ask me between Nyamula and Nyamuka Africa, and remove the bills out of the way, I would choose Nyamuka Africa. Like, I would like to spend the rest of my life doing the kind of stuff that we are doing at Nyamuka Africa. Of course, doing it better, doing it bigger. Nyamula, it's an issue of the tummy for me, right? So it's so fulfilling. One, when you look at somebody, if they are clueless, they tell you, I just want to start something, but I don't know how to go about it. Or they have this raw idea of what they think they want to do. And you take them on, you pump them, you inject this energy in them. And basically what we're doing at Nyamuka Africa is, I'm learning as a founder today, and I'm sharing the same. Tomorrow, I'm a mentor. I'm coaching someone else. The same stuff that I learned yesterday. It reminds me of this story that they were giving us when we were growing up in primary school. Was it religious studies, religious education? They'll give us the story about the Dead Sea. How the Dead Sea is always receiving. Water is coming, flowing, clean water. But because the Dead Sea would not give out, it's just a place for collecting. It's not releasing the water downstream to water the plants and everything. So that Dead Sea, there's a lot of water there, but it's dirty, it's dead water. It's water that nothing can live inside there. So I that reminds me of that, because I'm learning today. Someone is calling me a mentor. Someone is calling me a mentee. They are teaching me because I don't even have an idea. But the same thing they teach me tomorrow, I'm teaching others. That has been my experience with Nyamuka Africa. So can you imagine? You are working with somebody, they are clueless, then the next thing they are pitching, the next thing they have secured investment. I've witnessed that. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about, right? You look, the results themselves, they just make you feel like your heart, you are doing your part. Then the recognition, we don't really work for it. We're not working. We're not doing what we're doing for the awards or for the recognition. But I was in this event one of these days, and I'm listening to the government minister speaking. He likes speaking off the cuff. He doesn't read a speech most of the times. He just goes in, maybe has his talking point somewhere. Once he starts, he goes on. Then you're hearing him mention Bongo Hive, Jacaranda Hub, Nyamuka Africa. I'm like, okay. we are up to something. Then the other time, you know, the former president, he gave a shout out. Like he did a whole Facebook post about Nyamuka Africa, you know, like, of course, those were early days. I can't say we had done a lot. It was just our ideas which had gone out and reached him, and he was writing about it. That's the fuel that keeps us going. Nyamuka Africa does not pay me a salary. Yeah. I'm not on salary, on monthly salary or anything, but I love the work that we do at Nyamuka Africa. I don't know if that has responded to your question, because I can talk.
It has. I also love the work you do at Nyamuka Africa. And also when you were speaking, it also reminded me that you are one person that believes in people, right? Mm. You meet people, you meet strangers. You believe in people. It's like you're not very skeptical about it. And as an entrepreneur, you kind of get bent by that. Mm-hmm. Your ability to believe that all is good in people gets you bent and gets lessons from that. So what have you learned from believing in people? Like, what's the good thing about believing in people? And what's your, I'm glad I learned that about people.
Believing in people, it's because we need people. Like,
yeah.
There's really nothing tangible that you can do without people. People as partners, people as workers, people as customers, people as advisors. People, we just need people for us to survive, like in an ecosystem. So I will not stop believing in people, especially looking at how others, someone, not just one, I would just say someone for the sake of the conversation, how someone believed in me. Someone believed in me to want to educate me when my parents were long gone. Someone believed in me in giving me, okay, I need you to deliver this stuff. And you, okay, I like the order. This is a very big order. Thank you for bringing. Do you have the money to go and bring the order? I said, I do not have the money. Okay, I will give you the money. You get that. I'm a result of people, a chain of people believing in me. Some people housed me for 3 months, 4 months in their house. Some people accommodated me when I had nothing to my name. So at the end of the day, if you look back, you see, okay, I'm a result of those people. They deposited in me one way or the other. So naturally, it tends to make me to easily also believe in others. Where I am in a position to give someone a chance, I can. I feel inclined towards, okay, giving somebody a chance. But of course, like you said, I've bent my fingers several times. I've lost money. I've too quick to trust. and then you commit resources, and then at the end of the day, you know, things don't turn out to be good. But to tell the truth, it's been amazing as it has been like that. I don't mind getting my fingers bent again, as long as I'm doing this with that goodwill. Someone said somewhere that your goodwill is your capital. What is driving you to do this? What is driving you to believe in this person? I think after all the confusion, after all the loss, the finger bending and burning and everything, I look back and connect the dots and say, okay, I'm better than when I started. I'm actually making progress. This was necessary for me to learn this lesson, but I still stand.
I really do like that. I think we don't have a lot of conversations about the ones that believe in people as much. We just like to make things look so sugar-coated.
And just to add something that I was telling the people, some people at another platform, is they are asking, like, at what point did we start getting to feel like, okay, let's do what we are doing with Nyamuka Africa? It's when we started getting, you know, we started participating in programs at Bongo Hive. We called Bongo Hive Big Brother. When you're talking about Bongo Hive, Big Brother, they've been around before us. So when we started participating in their programs, we have one day we are having a mentorship session at NTBC. The other day, you're having a mentorship at Bongo Hive. The other day, you are meeting online. You're meeting some mentors who are assisting you. Then I realized that, okay, I've been trying to do business since 2004. And this is year 2018, 14 years down the line. And this is the very first time that I'm being exposed to mentorship. There are people that I've interacted with in business. They'll say one line here and there whilst you're having drinks. I look back, of course, that was my test of mentorship. But to be connected to people who are just focused about making sure you succeed, I only got to have that in 2018. 14 years of trying and messing up, falling, rising and falling again, 14 good years. So I started imagining, if I had these mentors 14 years ago, when I started, what would life be like for me? So it was just that contact that made me think, okay, I think these guys who are starting now, they should get to this, they should access mentors, they should access mentorship as soon as possible, so that they should not go through the 14 years that I went through of blindness. Yeah.
You've talked about a few stuff I love talking about, which is mentorship, access, and just the awareness Bongo Hive has given. I have to admit, like, Bongo Hive, one of my favorites. I like the atmosphere. I like what they have built as a company. And I do see why you're a younger brother to Bongo Hive, because they've really just done an amazing work. And they do amazing work. I did a training with them recently, which was like really, really open-minded and something I needed. So when we speak about Bongo Hive, and I'll add you to this, Nyamuka Africa, you guys remind me of, how do I build such a culture? And mostly it's a culture of innovation, openness to new stuff. So as a younger brother to Bongo Hive, how have you, as Nyamuka Africa, built a culture of innovation in your workspace?
How did you build a culture of innovation. I'm trying to see how to tackle that. But for me, I would look at that attitude of continuous. I think I would say I learned this from this man, that man who we're talking about, the Harvard man. He's a proponent of the Kaizen that they call Kaizen, that one I said. So continuous learning and continuous improvement. I think for us, this has been the key. We are students, we are not experts. We people call you, you may call me an expert, we're speaking to an expert and what, that's you, not me. We are students, we are learning. And it's through this learning that you see, okay, better ways of doing things. How can we do how can we communicate better as a team? How can we communicate better with our stakeholders? How can we so for us, this is how we have been, how we have evolved to what we are now, the Nyamuka Africa that you know now. It's continuous learning, continuous improvement. And at the end of the day, I think that's about it in terms of innovation, better way of doing things, easier way, cheaper way. Yeah.
I like that. I like that. It's all about how, what's the better way of doing stuff, the cheaper way. And yeah, a lot of us as small organization look up to all of you. We're like, we need more companies in Zambia. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We need more companies that are willing to learn what's the better way of doing stuff, the cheaper way. How best can we be efficient, effective? So yeah, I like that. What's your favorite childhood memory?
Favorite childhood memory. I do not have many of those, but if there's one thing that would stand out, as I was growing up, when you say childhood, what age are we talking about here?
That's up to you to decide. It could be as a child.
Okay.
Or in your teens.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, what's a memory that you look back to and it puts a smile on your face?
Okay. In the village, when I was doing primary school, there was a time when we went for sports, you know, like we were competing with other schools. And, you know, the matches will be short because you have to play maybe 4 or 5 games in a day. So they'll cut it maybe 15 minutes, halftime, 15 minutes, the match is over. So if the match ends as a draw, then you need to go to the dreaded penalty shootouts. So I remember then I was the team goalkeeper, and the stars, those guys that were always, you know, admiring, they started misbehaving. I think first we scored 3 goals. 2 of them scored, the other 2 guys missed, and I was one of the penalty takers there. I was not strong when I was growing up. I was very thin. Like my teachers, even I was talking to my teachers, showing them my pictures of now. I said, Lee, you are the most unhealthy of all the children. When you look at you, it's like maybe you just fall down, break. It's like you were malnourished, right? So that's what I was like. I was not to having that power to hit a powerful shot and go, but I had to think, you know. I did score some penalties that made me for, you know, where you have the school, the rest of the school, you know, cheering you, carrying you, throwing you up, like you're our hero for the day. We've won because of you. And then I go 2 years more in primary school. I go to secondary school, another secondary school. And the guys I meet there from other schools, they are still talking about the same day when they saw me hitting those penalties. For me, I think it was a good moment, because when you are going through the stuff that I was going through then, you are always looking for some kind of approval, you know, like, okay, so people see something good in me, so I can actually make people smile, I can make people laugh, you know. Yeah. So I think if I look back quickly, because this is the problem of the unscripted talk, I could have prepared a couple of those experiences. For me, that really stand out. I actually think about it. Even a week ago, if I'm not mistaken, I was actually replaying that incident. So it has left a mark on me. I was going to school barefooted. Like this poor boy can actually make everyone laugh, make everyone look at life differently. We spent the whole day. If we had not won that match, we were supposed to go home in the morning, like 9 hours. We were supposed to have taken off going back home. But we competed until the end of the day, just because of that match that became a turning point. So for me, it's memorable.
I like that. Mm. Well, Stephen, I'd like to give you an opportunity to ask me a question.
We have spoken about this somewhere somehow, but I'm going to ask. I think during this conversation, you know, I was talking about it. Is there any possibility that, if not one, if not all of you, is there a possibility that ladies in designing, Tivalemo Kiaka, is going to come back to life again, and the vision to go forward? And so me asking this, and I'm saying, some of you, I'm saying, there's a possibility that one or two of the girls might say, no, me, I'm thinking of doing other things. But when I'm asking you this question, I'm looking at you as being central, as you being the one that will remain. Is there that possibility that you are going to take this up after traveling the world and discover ever?
Yes, there's a high possibility, a very high one. On a scale 1 to 10, I would say an 8. Okay. Because we're having these conversations now. Yeah, there's just like a really high possibility. Everybody has been reflecting about it. Everybody has been praying about it. Mm-hmm. So it's, again, I think we're in a better position now than we were 5 years ago in terms of everything, knowledge, resources, capacity, skill sets. Yeah, we're in a better position to also navigate life with pressures, I think.
And since you allowed me to ask one question, I would like to ask another question.
Sure.
And this one is it's crazy. I don't know how you're going to look at it.
Okay. Like,
with the way you are growing, I mean, as a professionally, like a brand, the brand Aka, Tonse, and everything, do you even think of getting married? Like, that cross your mind, like, I'm going to get married maybe 5-10 years from now?
Funny enough, somebody was calling me when I was waiting joining. I was talking to someone's son.
So this is such,
I do And I was giving him productive, informative feedback about our relationship together.
Okay.
I do picture myself married. I hope to marry a businessman because then I don't have to struggle so much in business. But yeah, I do think about it. It won't happen anytime soon. Probably okay. 5 years later, because like you mentioned, the next 5 years are travel for me. Building a business, it's about learning, and I guess shifting to that season of a relationship is, it also comes with responsibilities that I can't run away from because it would be unfair to the other person. Okay. So yeah, I'm definitely going to dedicate my 20s to my work and my passion and what I love, so that I'm a true believer of, if I have kids, I would like to have them at once and move on. So I wouldn't want to have so many age ranges. I would like to just bring these human beings to the world, stick them up with their father and probably with their grandparents, because my grandparents like kids anyway, and move on. So yeah, I do think about it.
I can't believe I asked you this question.
It's okay. No one has ever asked me that.
To help others out there to just have the answer, to have a picture.
No, now it's a good thing. Now everybody now starts having a picture to say, oh, she does see herself married in 5 years somewhere.
Yeah, because I follow you, like your social media updates. Like I see other girls your age. It's like, okay. I know that in the back of my mind, there is a brother somewhere. But when you start seeing them on the WhatsApp update, on the status, on, then you know that, okay, I think she's now entertaining the ideas of getting married.
No, my priorities are different, right? I would rather invest in my 20s so much that I can afford what I want in my 30s. And also, when I have kids, I want to afford certain luxuries. I want to do certain things with my kids. As a mother, right? I don't want to solely depend on someone else's income to do that. So I think for me, it's just a matter of priorities. It's not top of my priorities. And I think also it's where you come from. The environment I'm from is, they're always like, earn more, work hard, travel more, compared to you're done with university, get married. So because when I actually was graduating, I was talking to my aunt, she's an accountant. She looked at me and said, you literally don't need to get married soon. Please don't get married soon. Look at me, I'm getting my master's in my 40s because I did prioritize marriage earlier. So for you just do you, like, prioritize your 30s. You will still get married eventually. It just doesn't have to be now that you're done with school. Because I know there's that pressure of everybody now finding a partner, settling down, having kids. So I think that was a good, and I have a lot of those conversations. My family jokes around a lot. They'll go like, are you depressed because of a boy? Can you please just move on? So I think it's also the environment, to be honest. I'm grateful that I'm reminded I'm too young for this, that there's no need. I don't think my family is ready to marry me off. So,
in my case now, I got married at 23, yes. And looking back, I say, that was God's way of saving me, like preserving me. I wouldn't be around if I didn't get married that early. and she did a lot of building on me. She's done quite a lot in terms of, you know, changing the way. Sometimes, you know, I feel like flying, this guy, but when I'm in my own space and reflecting, I see that there are certain things, certain discomforts that I've gone through as a result of getting married early. But the benefits for me, they far by far they outweigh, you know, the disadvantages, because even then I was not even thinking about going to get an education and to get, I was, it's not, I can't say getting married did disturbed some plans that I had. Did not, it actually preserved me. I became more focused. I started, you know, I'm talking about the guy from the village where I should have married actually at 16. I should have gotten a wife at 16. We used to go in the same class with the with guys who are married, you know, like their classmates. Then they get
married. Then
they get married. They start coming to school together in the village. There it used to happen. So I'm coming from that background. I've reached 23. I need some medal for reaching 23 without being married in the first place. So So I'm meeting somebody who grew up in a normal family environment. It's like kind of become somebody who is grooming, you know, like even to say, okay, you're going out, please present yourself like this. Even table manners on how to sit down where there are others and eat and what. She's the one who taught me that kind of stuff, you know. So I look back at it and say, okay, it was good that I married earlier, and it made me at least to be more responsible. Otherwise, I would be dead long, long back.
And I think that's very valid when you put it that way, right? Since we're talking about me, I come from a very, I wouldn't say a very cultured, but I would say a stable household and a good support system, right? Where they're telling you nurture yourself first before you get into someone's life, or before you let somebody come into your life to build something. It's what are you bringing to the table when you're building? I don't like table conversations because I never have those conversations anyway. But I'm like, I would like certain things to be established first. Like, I would like my business to be established first. I would like to travel half of the world first before I'm married, and just have that exposure and experience and decide, do I want to marry a Zambian? Do I not want to marry a Zambian? Why am I making that decision? So it's a lot on that, to be honest. And also it's just like different times. I admire those that were married before us earlier, and in your 20s, I admire that. For a generation as, I don't think it's a good idea.
Yes.
It's a good idea. There's a lot going on that we can say out loud here, but I don't think it's a good idea.
Yes. Myself, I would say I was a loose cannon. I was a danger to myself. So I needed some grounding. You needed something to ground you.
Not a lot of men see it and say it out loud, to be honest. But that was a very interesting conversation. Now everybody knows.
Yes. I can't even imagine that it's an hour already.
I can't believe that too. Before we go, I would like to ask you my final question, which is, what do you look forward to?
In the next 5 years, I'm looking forward to having my first exit. That would be a very good thing to add to my sleeve, to my CV. As a founder, to have exited at least one of my current ventures, you know, a successful exit is not like, okay, the business is not happening, I'm leaving. To grow the business until you get to a point where you get investors, you get another big company coming and saying, okay, we would like to buy this, your venture, we want to let's discuss the price. I think for the next 5 years, that's one of the things that I would like to achieve. I've seen how that helps, even it will help also even in my work, the work that we are doing, especially in the ecosystem. It helps, it builds confidence in investors. It's like they're always looking at, okay, I've successfully exited, this founder has successfully exited a business, so now they're trying something else. It's better to give them the money because they have the experience. So I'm looking forward to exiting, successfully exiting one of the ventures. And I would like, I think also within the next 5 years, to have reached a point where I'll be having at least $1 million in the account, cash, not a house where you have to evaluate a cash. So as crazy as that sounds, I would like to achieve that in the next 5 years.
I think that's doable. I don't think it's crazy. It's doable. And I look forward to seeing that happen.
Thank you so much. At least so I can count on you that I have a cheerleader somewhere.
Yes, she's out here cheering for you. It is such a good conversation, Stephen. Thank you for letting me do this with you. I found that the conversation very interesting. It kept opening different doors, especially the last question you asked me. Now I have to consider if I need to cut it. But I had so much fun. Thank you so much for just being here.
Okay. Thank you, Aka. It's been a pleasure for me.
And for everybody listening, I hope you loved this conversation. I hope it inspires you to check out what Nyamuka Africa is doing, what Nyamula is all about. And also check out Big Brother, which is Bongo Hive, if you've never checked out. Like, there's so many spaces you could check out as a young person, an entrepreneur, or somebody that just wants to learn something new. That could be good for you. So, thank you so much for tuning in today, and bye for now.